All right, for those of you that aren't aware, Mickey is starting Glendale's gospel meeting over in Santa Paula today because Glendale's mother is in hospice and he has gone back to Arkansas for her final hours. So that's where Glendale is. So Mickey's going to preach the gospel meeting over there through Tuesday, and then Galen is going to come over here and preach our meeting this Wednesday through Friday. So that's why I'm here instead of Mickey. We're going to be looking at the questions for Lesson 49 today. All right, so in Lesson 49, which is entitled Paul's Imprisonment. So in our question sheet that we have on the student question sheet that I handed out, it seems like a couple of months ago, we have all these questions. If you don't have that Lesson 49 sheet, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Everybody's got it, huh? Okay. As we go through Lesson 49 and talk about Paul's years of imprisonment, we understand that, as it says here, we're talking about Acts chapter 21 through Acts chapter 28. And that kind of finalizes things. And the questions that we have, they actually have a, on the back of the question sheet, not the back, on the last page of the question sheet, you'll note after the map that there's a what order do they go in thing. Paul's journey reviewed indicate which journey the events took place. So that's on page 5 of your handout for the questions for lesson 49. Now, I'm not sure whether or not I have those on here now that I think about it. This is a file that Mickey sent me, and I've sort of adapted it a bit, or maybe a lot. Anyway, we'll attempt to go to it on here and see if it'll change my video modes properly. It looks like it did. So, if we just briefly talk about the imprisonments of Paul, though, we see that he was originally taken prisoner in what city? In Jerusalem, after he was, gladly received by the brethren, but the Jews didn't much take after him. And one of the questions on here on this question sheet is, who are the ones that turned him in, as it were? Who was the one that raised the stink that got everybody to beating Paul in the temple? The Jews from Asia, that's correct. And so he was then taken off to where? Pardon? Caesarea. And from thence went to, ultimately, Rome. All right, so now that's taken a bit of time. How long was he in Caesarea, approximately? 2 years. And then we've got this ocean voyage that goes from Caesarea up around Crete, stopping then at a port in Asia where they pick up another ship because probably what the ship that they had was either a coastal ship or because it was a ship from Adramidium, and I have a map in here that'll show us where that is. They may have wanted to continue up the Asian coast, and then they would have taken a seagoing ship over to Rome, and so they went through a lot there. But if we think about that, we think that this is a ship that's sailing from Let me see if I can get here to my Google Earth thing. We realize that we've started off here in the what nominally we refer to as the Bible lands over in this area. And Caesarea is up, I don't know, it's up here somewhere, right on the coast. And they had to take this ship that's going to come along here, and then it's going to stop at Myra over here, and they're going to change ships. Now, that's no insignificant journey in and of itself. So we have quite a number of miles there that we're talking about in a ship that, as we realize, does not have engines. So it's dependent on the wind to go. And so Paul spent 2 years here in Caesarea. Then he takes this journey that, as far as we know, may have taken a month or two, or I don't know, long time. Anyway, to get up and around there. Apparently they went around Cyprus because it says that winds were contrary. So as they went on the lee side of Cyprus, lee side meaning, of course, the side that is not the wind side. So it appears then that the wind must have been blowing this way. And then they came up around and stopped at a place up here on the Asian coast and got another ship. Now that may have taken them several days also. So when they did that, then they got another ship that was going to take them from there over here to Rome. That didn't work out as well as they had hoped. And so when they were coming past this island here, which is Crete, everything seems to go well. They thought they were going to winter here on Crete in a port that was commodious to wintering in. And then when they were going to get up to it, and it's around here somewhere, they got caught by a wind. And that wind just drove them, apparently, almost straight south. And they were afraid they were going to run aground on something over here that was shallow, though it's difficult to see anything that's shallow over here. But if they were getting very close to the coast of Libya, they would have probably run up on something. They call it the Syrtis, whatever that is. And so they ended up finally drifting along in the Mediterranean Sea until they got to this little bitty island here, which is called Melita, and today is called Malta. They went around, then I think they went through the pass here and then up to Rome. But how long did they stay over here on Melita on their tropical adventure? Through the winter, or at least 3 months, I think they said it was. And so they had 3 months there. And then when Paul got up to here and he was in Rome, how long was he there until we closed the book of Acts? 2 years. So we got 2 years there and 3 months here, and I don't know. I mean, they were talking about being dashed around and they hadn't anything to eat or drink for 14 days, right? So that was only a portion of their journey. So at least from the island of Crete to the island of Melita was at least 14 days, most likely more. And then this journey here was probably several months. So we're looking at an elapsed time from the time that Paul goes into Jerusalem to the time he ends up finished at Rome at the end of the book of Acts of, what, nominally 5 years, right? So we're not talking about just some short little history lesson here. It takes a while for him to get to where he's going. All right, so let's look at these questions then. These are the questions that are in the CD set that Mickey and I have, but they're not in your book, though some of them are related to the questions that the fill-in-the-blanks things that you'll see on Lesson 49 itself. Right, but you should have, if you have the question sheet, you have 5 pages on that. All right, so if we look at these questions then, this is where we started out in chapter 21. So when they arrived, at what city were Paul and his companions received gladly? All right, so that was Jerusalem, as we mentioned. You find that at the beginning of the citation that we have there with this lesson in Acts 21 and verse 17. Mickey talked extensively about the fact that they were gladly received by the brethren, yet things did not turn out very well for them. And as a matter of fact, there was a problem that they wanted Paul to work on solving. What was that? They had a number of people there that were formerly Jews, that were Christians now, that felt that, or had heard anyway at least, that Paul was teaching that people needed to forsake the law of Moses and all sorts of things like that. And so the apostles, there at Jerusalem, asked him if he wouldn't take, if he wouldn't do what?
The financial backer for some people that were doing a cleansing for a vow.
Yeah, it appears that they, these four men, young, I think it said young men, had a vow of some sort. The authors of the lesson book feel that they may have been defiled in this and they needed to cleanse themselves. But it seems more likely to me that what they were doing was they were finishing up their vow, and they were in the 7 days of cleansing to finish their vow, so that when they were done, they could cut their hair or do whatever that indicated that they were done with their vow. There's no indication here that this is a Nazirite vow, but people could choose to take that on if they want to. They wanted Paul to put himself at charges, as it were, in other words, to pay for these guys, to show the other Jews that he was not teaching them to forsake the law of Moses. Now, what, however, had Paul done with the law of Moses? He had himself, as a Christian, forsaken it, had he not? He chose another law, right? Now, was it unscriptural for Paul then to stand at charges or to pay for the things that these people were doing? No, because by that time then it just became a sort of a civil thing to do. And Paul could do this. There was certainly nothing there that violated Scripture in just standing at charges for these men. And even for them making sacrifices, that was okay also. That was okay for him to do, but it turns out that it didn't turn out very well. So when we get to the next question, then we already answered this. The unbelieving Jews, in other words, people that had not become Christians, from what area recognized the Apostle Paul? That was, they were from Asia, and you can see that in verse 27 of Acts 21. And then, so the Jews, these Jews, along with the other Jews in Jerusalem, got stirred up against whom? Who we've been talking about. Paul, right? So, in the 28th verse, as we continue on down there, we see that they're all stirred up against Paul. Now, who intervened then to keep Paul from being killed? We realize that there was this big mob in the temple area, and they were actually literally beating Paul. So who intervened here? Excuse me? Felix? No. Yeah, Claudius Lysias, who we find later in chapter 23, I think, as far as his name goes. But of course, we just say the Roman military intervened. They came running down from their barracks, which actually overlooked the temple area. And you find that in Acts, the 21st chapter, and then verses 31 through 33. After he offered his defense, and this was before the people, while he was standing up on the stairs before being taken into the palace or the barracks or whatever that's called, Paul was taken the next day before what group for a trial? What group did he first go before?
The Jewish people.
The Jewish people, namely the Sanhedrin court. Okay. So you can see that in the 22nd chapter and in the 30th verse is where it shows that he stood before the court. I would guess that when you look through the text, you will not find the word Sanhedrin in there anywhere. I don't remember seeing it. So, but we understand that that was the Jewish court. That particular hearing did not go all that well. And what did they have to do with Paul again?
Rescue him.
Yeah. Claudius Lysias is a nice guy. He realizes this guy is a Roman citizen. He realized from the get-go he was a Roman citizen. You can tell by the way he was dressed, I think. So, at least that's what Claudius Lysias said in his letter to Felix, right? Bruce?
In Acts chapter 23, verse 26, Claudius Lysias' name is mentioned.
Right, right. So, now, Paul realized, of course, at that time that the Jews weren't going to give him a fair hearing. But Paul was assured by God at this particular time that he would bear witness of Christ in what city? Rome. So this is the place where we see that Paul now, from now on, realizes that he's going to Rome. So in Acts 23rd chapter in verse 11, you see that promise from God pointed out. Now, things weren't going well with the Roman soldiers at that time who were keeping charge of Paul, because the Jews kept asking them to bring Paul down for further judgment. Now, they asked to bring Paul down for further judgment so that they could do what? So they could kill him. How many men were there that? I was going to say 40. Yeah, about 40 men had taken a vow that they wouldn't eat or drink until they had slain Paul. So we can assume that after a while there were 40 bodies laying in the city somewhere.
23, 13.
More than 40. Yeah. More than 40. Okay. So it could be 70. All right, 3,418. We're waiting for it. So, okay. Now, so the chief captain, who is, of course, Claudius Lysias, as Bruce has pointed out in chapter 23, determined to send Paul to the governor of what city? Caesarea, of course. We mentioned that before. Acts 23:23 says that Paul went off to Caesarea. How many people did he bring along with him? At least halfway.
270.
Wasn't it 470 total? There was like footmen, horse soldiers, and something else. I thought it totaled 470. They dropped him off. They dropped half of that off at Antipatris, is it? And then, excuse me? 470 total. Okay. All right. All right. So they took Paul at night, part of the way to Caesarea. Then the which ones went back? The foot soldiers continued with him, right? The horsemen went on. Okay. All right. So the foot soldiers went back, and the horsemen went on with him, and they went to Caesarea. Now, what governor that Claudius Lysias has now written a letter to had some knowledge about the church and listened to the testimony against Paul? Now, this is where, this previously in this chapter, is where we saw Claudius Lysias' name come up, because he wrote a letter to this man. What man is this? Okay, Felix. Okay. So, I guess one way you can remember whether it's Felix or Festus is because they occur in alphabetical order, though they're pretty close. They start with an F-E, right? So, then you got to get to the third letter and figure out where you are in your alphabet. Sometimes I run out of fingers doing that. All right, so in Acts 24, verses 1 through 9, we see that Felix listened to the testimony against Paul. And then after Paul had made his defense, what did Felix determine that he was going to do? Yeah, nothing. So he left them there for how long? 2 years. That's where we get this two-year thing. And so, because it says that he left them there for 2 years. And then somebody else became the governor of Judea. Who was that?
Porcius Festus.
Matter of fact, the last time I taught this, we came up with the first name of Felix, and now I don't remember what it was. But it was like Marcus Felix or so. They all had more than one name. So anyway, Porcius Festus, he became the new governor. You can see that in Acts, the 24th chapter and verse 7. Now, I put this map on here just so that we can see. Here's Jerusalem down here, and Caesarea is way up here on the coast. This, of course, is just a discussion about Peter and Philip's travels around. But we can see the distance that it was. And, of course, you can see as we go on this trail right here, we end up at Antipatris. What happened at Antipatris in their journey up to Caesarea? the 200 and whatever footmen went back, right? And they were left with the horsemen.
There were 70 horsemen.
70 horsemen. So 400 of them went back. Okay. As Jenny has said, she can do that without a calculator. And so they left at Antipatris and went back home, and then the rest of the party continued on up here to Caesarea, which is right on the coast. Festus was the guy that just became the governor of Judea, and was his area, his headquarters was there at Caesarea. But Festus asked Paul to go to Jerusalem to stand. Why did Festus ask Paul to go to Jerusalem to stand trial? Yeah, the Jews requested it, or demanded it, or something. They wanted him. And so, if Paul had come down from Caesarea to stand trial before the Jews, what would have happened to him?
They would have killed him.
These 40 hungry guys are still there. So, after 2 years. So, they're just hanging on by their fingernails, but they're ready to kill him. So, but it does say that they were plotting to kill him. So it doesn't say it was the same guys. And it couldn't have been, because they couldn't have lived that long. All right. So Festus asked him to go into Jerusalem to stand trial. Paul knew he wouldn't find justice there. And he pointed out that he was at what right now? At Caesarea. He was at Caesar's judgment seat right now, right? And that he should be judged there. But given that that was the case, Paul appealed to whom?
To
the Caesar, right. So in Acts, the 25th chapter and verse 11, he says, I appeal unto Caesar. So as a Roman citizen, he had the privilege, you can say, to do that. And so now Festus had no choice but to send him to Caesar. Now then, while Festus and Paul are getting along here and all, for the time that Paul is continuing on in Caesarea, a king came to pay his respects to Festus, because Festus essentially had just taken over, and so this king came to pay him a visit. Who was that? All right, Herod Agrippa II. You see that in Acts, the 25th chapter. And verses 13 and following. So there's quite a number of verses there to talk about paying his respects to Felix, and also to listen to Paul's defense, which took a bit there also. All right. Now, what did Agrippa say to Paul after Paul had made his defense to him in Acts 26:28? Right. So in various translations, I don't know which one this is, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. I think that's in the New King James. I'm not positive on that. So Herod Agrippa said that to him. Some people think that it was facetious. Other people say that Agrippa was admitting to Paul that you know, this is something worthy of listening to. So I guess we'll never know, at least in this life. Now, when Paul and some other prisoners were ready to be transported to Rome, to whom were they delivered?
Julius,
right.
Julius of the Augustan cohort.
All right. So that's, I would assume that means that, generally speaking, that he belongs to people that are stationed in Rome. The Augustan means that the Augustus is what they give to the name of the Caesar. so I'm not sure. But it's not Claudius Lysias anymore. Claudius Lysias has gone back home to Jerusalem. So it's Julius that then accompanies everybody. How far does Julius follow Paul on his journey to Rome? As far as we know, all the way to Rome. They all you know, spent the winter on Melita and had a fine old time, and then got on board another ship and headed on up to Rome. So we can assume that Julius stayed with the party there. So Acts 27:1 tells us about Julius. Now, who was with Paul on the journey? Now, this is the journey to Rome. We have another question later on that asks who is with Paul on his journey to Jerusalem and then to Rome. In this instance, we want to know who is with Paul on this journey, the one just to Rome. Randy.
We know Luke was because verse 2 of chapter 27 says, we go out to seek.
Right. And then I think it's the very next verse. Aristarchus. Okay. So I put, that's what I put down. This is not only the 27:2, but the pronouns. Once again, we have to look at the pronouns that are there. If we look at the pronouns that are in the book of Acts, we can see when Luke is with the company and when Luke is writing about the company and not with them. So his pronouns in this area now for till the end of the book are we, not they. So we understand that was why that's the case. So Aristarchus, who was from where? Thessalonica. So he's a fur piece from home too. So he was down there apparently with them. And he and Luke joined Paul on the journey to Rome. Now, the group sailed from Sidon to Myra, passing what island because of severe winds? Cyprus. Okay. So if you look at Acts 27:4, you'll see that that's the case. I have a map here on the next slide that shows where Cyprus is. Now, you'll remember when Julius put them on board a ship, he put them on board a ship from where? Where was the ship from?
Adramidium.
Where's Adramidium? There it is. Right up by the province of Mysia. Now, Troas is right here. This doesn't have a lot of towns on it. And Ephesus is here somewhere. So Adramidium, and Jenny, what does it say about the ship from Adramidium?
Which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia.
Okay, so it's about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia. So all of this area, of course, is Asia. And so the ship is from Adramidium, and they're going to sail along here to the various ports in Asia. And so that's why when they got here to Myra, they had to put ashore so that they could get another ship that was going over to Rome, because this ship was going to, most likely, to Adramidium. And that's why they changed up there. So now we know where Adramidium, I never knew where Adramidium is until I pulled up this map on the internet. Never thought to look for it before. All right, now at Myra, right here on the Lycian coast. At Myra, the group boarded a ship that was sailing to where? All right, doesn't say that it was sailing to Rome. It said it was sailing to Italy. So in Acts the 27th chapter and verse 6, it says the ship was sailing to Italy. Now, by the time the ship arrived a little bit further to the south, the good sailing time had gone away. So where did the ship arrive after they left Myra, the next place that we read about? Say what?
Alexandria?
No, that's way out of the way. It's true, it's Crete, yes. Specifically on Crete, it's Fair Havens. All right, they went to Fair Havens. But I believe that this is the port where they said this port was not commodious for them to winter in. Now, so we're at Acts 27 and verse 8. It says that they arrived at Fair Havens. This is not, however, apparently a good place for them to stay. Of course, being in the Mediterranean, I'm sure they're not particularly concerned about icebergs and stuff like that, but the fact of the matter is apparently it's not a good place to tie up. It may be that the winds came in such a direction that they just, you know, swamped the place with waves during the bad winter season. So they were looking for another place to winter over. So they were going to winter over here in Crete. They weren't going to proceed on to Rome. Paul warned of the danger if they sailed on, but the centurion believed who rather than Paul?
The pilot and
who?
And the owner.
Pilot and the owner. Okay. This guy's got the shipmaster, you know. Acts 27:11. What does Acts 27:11 say specifically?
In the English Standard Version, it says the pilot and owner.
Okay.
King James is master.
Who is this? Pilot and captain.
Pilot and captain. Pilot and owner. Master.
Master and owner.
Master and owner. So we've got owner pegged down for sure. All right. Right. So pilot, master, captain. All of those people are... Pardon?
The boss.
The boss. El Jefe. Yes. That's right. So, yeah. So they probably needed to listen to him because the owner did what? Owned the ship, right? And the captain worked for the owner. And they were taking these prisoners on, probably for pay. They probably got something for transporting the prisoners. But it's certainly up to the captain of the ship to determine what the ship is going to do at any given time. All right. I think we have Fair Havens pointed out on here, sort of. I mean, it's here somewhere. I'm not sure. There's Lycia. There's Phoenix. Here's that little island of Clauda that comes up later on in the text. I'm not sure where they're saying Fair Havens is here, but it's somewhere along here. well, it must be that one right there because it ends right next to it. So anyway, they were... Okay, yeah. So as they moved away from Fair Havens because that port was not commodious for them to winter in, where were they trying to get to? The sailing became very difficult, however, and it prevented them from getting to that place. But what place were they trying to reach?
Phoenix,
because we realized that in the middle of the desert, you're not going to have to worry about this crashing waves, right? So Phoenix, which was a haven of Crete. You can see that in Acts, the 27th chapter and verse 12. Now, as they continued on, what happened to the ship? Now, of course, we're skipping a lot of text here, about 30 verses, I guess. So, ultimately, then, what happened to the ship? It did get shipwrecked. How did it get shipwrecked?
Caught in a storm.
What?
There's a name that they had for the storm.
Oh, Euraquilo is mentioned there. Just the big storm. What happened to the ship? Say what?
Mine says the nor'easter.
Nor'easter, huh? So they're up in Maine somewhere then. Yeah, I saw some pictures of a nor'easter here just a few weeks ago. So what's the New American say? It says Euraquilo?
Well, Euraquilo or Euraquilo.
Okay. so whatever that means. So they had a nor'easter come in and... got him good. What happened to the ship? What caused it to wreck?
Rocks.
It was buffeted about by the winds and they ran it aground.
Right. It got stuck on a sandbar. Okay. The it says where two seas met. Okay. Where two seas meet, the sand piles up. And so... there were either some currents or the winds were, you know, habitually in one direction at that particular time. And what happened was that it ran aground, and because it ran aground, the bow was stuck fast, and they couldn't move anywhere. It didn't say the bow was smashed. It says the bow was stuck firm. So that means it didn't run into rocks. It means most likely they ran up on a sandbar. But because the wind was causing, or and the waves were pounding on the ship. What happened to the ship?
It broke apart.
Started breaking apart from the stern on up. So, kind of sounds like a science fiction movie where it just starts at the back and just works on its way on up, and everybody's running up to the bow. And finally, what do they do? They jump off and swim ashore. Paul and the rest of the group were shipwrecked on what island? Melita, okay, or Malta. Does the English Standard use Malta? It does, okay. So Acts 28 and 1, the American Standard uses the word Melita. And once again, we have the same map, and so we see that they left Crete here. They got hit by this Euraquilo, which is a big wind that came from the northeast, and they were driven down here. These folks reported show here the Syrtis banks. I do, by looking at Google Earth, see that the water is shallower there, but it looks like instead of being 9,000 feet, it's only 2,000 feet. So I'm not sure. There must be some locally shallow waters in that particular area. I believe somebody mentioned last time that this was called the, what's the place down by Florida? The Bermuda Triangle. It's the Bermuda Triangle of the Mediterranean. The things get driven down. And probably what's happening is that as this Euraquilo comes down from the northeast, by the time they get down here to the deserts of Africa, they may be getting offshore breezes that are pushing them around and just making it so that they can't get anywhere. That's entirely possible. So they're driven, and finally, after wandering around, it says for 14 days, they realize that things are getting shallower. Probably they could hear, perhaps they could hear the waves breaking on something. There is a little bit different action of the waves when the water gets shallower. When you're out in deeper water, the swells are generally more gentle and regular, and when you get in closer to shore, they have a tendency to get a bit more choppy. Though the wind that we're talking about here, I imagine everything was just about equally choppy. All right, so while on this tiny island of Melita, Paul was bitten by what? And was he harmed by said what?
A snake,
right. He wasn't harmed. And we look at Acts 28th chapter in verses 3 through 6. What did the people there on the island think that he was then? Is this the first time that they thought he was a god? Not they, but I mean that he'd been taken for a god. Now, remember back on the first journey, I believe, that he and Barnabas, I knew that, he and Barnabas were in one of the cities, Antioch, Derbe, Lystra, probably Lystra, I think it was, and they heal somebody. And they called them Mars and Jupiter, and they were going to make sacrifice to them and said, "We are men just like you." So, but they called them gods. So I guess Paul is used to be calling a god, used to being called a god, but he dissuaded them from that also, indicating that he was a man just like them. What persuaded them that he was a god? After the snakes bit him, what did he do to it?
Shook it off
to the fire. And they thought that he was going to what?
Swell
right up and die. So, but he didn't. And when he didn't, then they thought he was a god. All right.
Not Jupiter and Mars. Jupiter and Mercury.
Jupiter and Mercury.
Mars is Aries.
Mars is Aries. Oh, okay. Jupiter and Mercury. Mercury is the messenger.
Yes.
And Jupiter's the chief, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, after 3 months, now this is Bruce's question. After 3 months, the group caught a ship journeying from what place? Now, you've wanted to use this city many times.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite city? Alexandria, you're correct.
I've been missing that all last week.
So in Acts the 28th chapter and verse 11, we see that that a ship of Alexandria apparently came to the island of Melita to do something, you know, take out provisions, who knows what. Obviously, they had been on a journey. Let me go back up and see if I have my map on the page right before this. Yes, I do. So, if they were... Oh, that's great. Didn't go. All right. So, Alexandria is down here, but not too far down here. And so, if they were in a seagoing ship... And they were going from Alexandria. They may have gone just, you know, straight across here and ended up at Melita. By the time they got to Melita, this may have been, and they may have, you know, stopped here at Crete for provisions also and then gone over to Melita so that they could pick more provisions up. I mean, you can't just journey across without provisions, and you don't want to just completely load the boat with stuff to keep your crew alive, and then you got nothing to sell when you get to where you're going. We should have rung the first bell, right? Bruce, would you ring a bell? Just the one on top of the thingamajig there. And then we'll need to ring another one in about 3 minutes. All right. So, is bitten? Was he harmed? No. Snake? Yeah. After 3 months, the group caught a ship journeying from Alexandria. And then, after leaving Melita, the group sailed to what place where they stayed for 3 days?
Syracuse
is correct. Yes. They went to Syracuse. Now, this is not in New York or Pennsylvania or wherever it is. So notice, though, that what we've seen here is a number of names that we see used in the United States today. Alexandria, Phoenix, Syracuse. And we'll see that in this map here. That here's the big island of Sicily down at the toe of Italy, and Syracuse is down here on the southeast side of Sicily. And so they stopped there first, probably to take on more provisions. The ship apparently had been here, and they went to Syracuse. So maybe they were dropping off some cargo, whatever they were doing. They went to Syracuse anyway. All right. From there, they sailed to Regium and then on to Puteoli, where they stayed for how many days in Puteoli? 7 days. So if you look in Acts, the 28th chapter, in verse 14, you'll see that's the case. Now, Paul's first Roman imprisonment was at what place? Rome, right? Acts 28:16. That was another gimme question here. So how long was Paul kept in prison before his case was heard?
2 years,
yeah. So once again, we can see where they went here, Regium and Puteoli, and then they got off the boat here, I think, at the Forum and sort of hoofed it to Rome, because it says the brethren accompanied them to Rome. What man closed the account of the book of Paul's life in the book of Acts? The author of the book of Acts, Luke. And we can see that by the pronouns once again, that he was there with him. All right, we're going to stop here at question 28, and we'll take up with question 29 at some time in the distant future.